Christ purchased by temple money, at the Passover the case of Judas was decided. Satan took control of heart and mind. He thought that Christ was either to be crucified, or would have to deliver himself out of the hands of his enemies. At all events, he would make something out of the transaction, and make a sharp bargain by betraying his Lord. He went to the priests and offered to aid them in searching for him who was accounted the troubler of Israel. Thus it was that the Lord was sold as a slave, purchased by the temple money used for the buying of the sacrifices, the Signs of the Times, December 17, 1912, reprinted from C. Peter tempted the devil - quoted, how true was the Savior's friendship for Peter. How compassionate his warning. But the warning was resented. In self-sufficiency, Peter declared confidently that he would never do what Christ had warned him against. Lord, he said, I am ready to go with thee to prison and to death. His self-confidence proved his ruin. He tempted Satan to tempt him, and he fell under the arts of the wily foe. When Christ needed him most, he stood on the side of the enemy, and openly denied his Lord. Father is beside every struggling soul, Christ conquered by divine strength, and so must every tempted soul overcome. God was with Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, and by the experience of Christ we are to learn to trust our Heavenly Father. At all times and in all places we are to believe that He is tender, true, and faithful, able to keep that which is committed to His care. In the agonizing struggle of Christ, our substitute and surety, the Father was beside His Son, and He is beside every soul that struggles with discouragement and difficulty. Gabriel strengthened Christ, in the supreme crisis, when heart and soul are breaking under the load of sin. Gabriel is sent to strengthen the divine sufferer, and brace him to tread his blood-stained path. And while the angel supports his fainting form, Christ takes the bitter cup, and consents to drink its contents. Before the suffering one comes up the wail of a lost and perishing world, and the words come from the blood-stained lips, nevertheless, if man must perish unless I drink this bitter cup, thy will, not mine, be done. Life hid in Christ cannot be touched. The strength given to Christ in the hour of bodily suffering and mental anguish in the Garden of Gethsemane has been and will be given to those who suffer for His dear name's sake. The same grace given to Jesus, the same comfort, the more than mortal steadfastness, will be given to every believing child of God, who is brought into perplexity and suffering, and threatened with imprisonment and death, by Satan's agents. Never has a soul that trusts in Christ been left to perish. The rack, the stake, the many inventions of cruelty, may kill the body, but they cannot touch the life that is hid with Christ in God. Christ took no make-believe humanity. Of Christ it is said, and being in an agony he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. We need to realize the truth of Christ's manhood in order to appreciate the truth of the above words. It was not a make-believe humanity that Christ took upon himself. He took human nature and lived human nature. Christ worked no miracles in his own behalf. He was compassed with infirmities, but his divine nature knew what was in man. He needed not that any should testify to him of this. The Spirit was given him without measure, for his mission on earth demanded this. Christ's life represents a perfect manhood. Just that which you may be, he was in human nature. He took our infirmities. He was not only made flesh, but he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. His divine attributes were withheld from relieving his soul anguish or his bodily pains. Passing into the hands of the powers of darkness, could mortals view the amazement and sorrow of the angels as they watched in silent grief the Father separating his beams of light, love, and glory, from his Son, they would better understand how offensive is sin in his sight. As the Son of God in the Garden of Gethsemane bowed in the attitude of prayer, the agony of his spirit forced from his pores sweat like great drops of blood. It was here that the horror of great darkness surrounded him. The sins of the world were upon him. He was suffering in man's stead, as a transgressor of his father's law. Here was the scene of temptation. The divine light of God was receding from his vision, and he was passing into the hands of the powers of darkness. In the agony of his soul, he lay prostrate on the cold earth. He was realizing his father's frown. The cup of suffering Christ had taken from the lips of guilty man, and proposed to drink it himself, and, in its place, give to man the cup of blessing. The wrath that would have fallen upon man, was now falling upon Christ. Sufferings of Christ, 17:18, found in C. A Time to Speak, when Jesus was asked the question, "Art thou the Son of God?" He knew that to answer in the affirmative would make his death certain, a denial would leave a stain upon his humanity. There was a time to be silent, and a time to speak. He had not spoken until plainly interrogated. In his lessons to his disciples he had declared, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." When challenged, Jesus did not deny his relationship with God. In that solemn moment his character was at stake and must be vindicated. He left on that occasion an example for man to follow under similar circumstances. He would teach him not to apostatize from his faith to escape suffering or even death.